So the church, in her wisdom and discernment, has decided to make this fourth Sunday of Advent full of words like this. The collect says, "Stir up your power, and with great might come among us." The psalm appointed for the day speaks of God who sits among the cherubim. Mary herself will sing a song of praise that mentions God showing the strength with his arm. He is scattering the proud. He's bringing down the mighty. He is exalting the humble and the poor. Mightiness, power, stirring up, bringing down, exalting. All of those kinds of words surround, frame the simplest of stories. The story about two women of great faith who experience miraculous pregnancies. And so, isn't it a lesson in and of itself that on the day in which we speak of the mighty power of God moving and stirring, we encounter the strength of God in two women of faith? Is there any other story in the Bible like this one vignette today? I mean, I sort of flipped through the New Testament and sort of even more quickly flipped through the Old Testament, just looking that in the story there would be these two women who, with absolutely no, there's not a moment of competition, there's not a moment of rivalry, there's not a moment of comparison. There is this grand and glorious episode where these two women of faith absolutely celebrate the presence of God in their lives with just a mutual joy and respect and celebration. I really don't know of any other story where two human persons so stand in a place of faith and confidence and joy and just celebrate what God is doing in their lives. These two women full of the power and the strength and the might of God for us to watch and listen to. And for Mary in particular, I think there are words to heed and there is a faith to imitate. Elizabeth will say to her, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment, that there would be, that God would keep the word and promise he made to you." Two kinds of blessings for Mary. The first blessing is absolutely uniquely hers. There's only been one woman in the entire history of humankind who was given this call, given this destiny, this role to play, to be the mother of the Messiah of Israel, who is the mother of the Savior of the world, who is, the church would dare say, that when we speak of Mary giving birth to Jesus of Nazareth, who is the divine Son of God, she is the mother of God. Mother of God, mother of the Savior, mother of Israel's Messiah. There is a blessedness that is hers alone. And it comes to her as the Holy Spirit overshadows her, just envelops her, rests upon her, fills her. And in the power of the Spirit, a child is conceived, and this is that child that has been promised. The blessing of being that woman to bear that child in God's plan. And then there's the blessing of being the one who believed what the angel Gabriel spoke to her from the very heart and mind and purpose of God. She believed. And there was a blessing in her faith, in her yes back to God. And what I want us to pause for a moment and realize is, well, there's a popular contemporary song that's made the rounds for the last, I don't know how long this song has been about, and I have lost my notes, but that's okay, I can wing it. It's the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" Mary, Did You Know? And there's a sweetness to the song, and there's a sentimentality to the song, and then there's a thread of sort of what is it that Mary understood. But I want to emphasize this morning that Mary came to this moment when Gabriel visited already with a deep faith in the God who has made a promise to Israel and to humanity. If we were to put it in colloquial terms, I might say Mary read her Bible. That Mary knew already before Gabriel shows up. She knew what I want to call the great promise. She knew that the world in which she lived, which was so much bigger than the world in which she navigated in Nazareth, she knew there was this greater world, this heaven and earth, and she knew that God was the creator of that. He was the maker of heaven and earth. She knew that humanity had broken and poisoned all of creation and even themselves in sort of turning their back on God and in disobedience and ingratitude. And she knew that in that brokenness and at that moment of brokenness, God had showed up and made a promise to humanity. And he had begun to fulfill that promise by coming to Abraham and saying of Abraham, I will bless you. And when I bless you, ultimately, I'm going to bless all the nations. I'm going to bring all the nations into my family through you. And she knows the story. She knew the story of Abraham. She knew that eventually the families and the tribes of Abraham, his heirs, would become this group that became enslaved in Egypt. And she knew the story that God had gone to Egypt and broken the power of one of the great empires of that part of the world at that time, broken the power of an empire to rescue his people out of slavery. She knew that story. And that God had led them into a land in which he had cleared for them and made to be their promised land, and he had begun to establish them as a nation. She knew those stories. She knew of that shepherd boy who became David. And she knew that David had once heard God promise that he would raise up out of his heirs one child, one son, who would sit upon a throne, upon a government that would have no end. She knew that the Messiah, this promised one, would come through David's line, David's tribe. She knew that promise. And so when Gabriel comes from the very presence of God to call her to this particular task, this particular role of being the woman who would be the mother of this Messiah, this Savior, this Son of God, her soul and her heart were full. Promise of God, and she knew that it was her opportunity to say yes or no to her particular task. What a model of faith. That how when we make ourselves open to seek and to understand and to grow in the knowledge of the great promise and plan of God, that promise, that plan, that purpose, realizing that we will not find the meaning of our lives by simply looking within, that the true meaning and purpose of our lives can only be found by looking out and up to the one who has made all heaven and earth and made the promise of rescue and deliverance. She was in a place where she stood on the great promise and faith, and she was ready to hear the call of God on her particular life. And she was ready in that moment to say, yes. Yes, I'll play my part. I'll do my role. Whatever the particular place you have for me in the great purpose of your redemption, Lord, I will do that. I think Mary invites us to be imitators of that faith, seeks to understand the plan and purpose of God, to realize that we are a people who do not have to search inward, but can look up to a God who has a plan and purpose, and that we have a place in it. Mary didn't have to write her own story, make her own meaning, but she began to experience that the greatest gift is to be drawn into the story and the plan that is greater than her and that transcends her. And she had a place to play. Mary knew that there is someone and something greater at work. And that someone and someone had a place and a plan for her. Mary knew more about the great plan than we might think. But she did not know the particular. She was ready to say yes to her role. But I think that when the Lord gave her that role, the how of it and what it would exactly mean, that was the surprise. That was the unexpected. That was the sort of ripple. But because she had confidence in the great plan of God that had been unfolding in a way that so transcended her one life, she knew this God could be trusted. This God she could yield to. This God she could say yes to. And that's what she calls us to do, to imitate that kind of faith. The prophet said to Bethlehem, that little town, he said, "Oh, Bethlehem, you are not too little to be the place out of which I will raise up this Messiah, this one that I am going to send you." And isn't that all of our temptations, to think that we are too little, too insignificant? When I think about Mary, I think about how little we know about this one who bore the Son of God. I mean, we know the town she lived in. We know the town where she gave birth in. We know about the journey to Egypt. And then for almost 30 years, we know very little about how she raised Jesus and lived with Jesus and managed the family. And then she reappears some in the story of Jesus' public ministry. And then at the end, we know she was there at the cross and around the happening of the resurrection and there at Pentecost. But we know so little. But she lived in her ordinary days of her life. I believe what marked her was this ongoing simple faith that said, "God, I want to say yes to whatever you ask of me. I want to say yes to every holy thing you call me to in my ordinary days." And isn't it interesting that we know so little of what she particularly did or how she raised Jesus, but we know that when he appears on the scene for this launch, his public ministry, he is a man who has been immersed in the great plan and purpose and promise of God. And I'm sure it's connected in ways to the way that Mary spoke into his life and loved him and raised him. There is no place too little, too small. You know, I was raised in a generation of clergy the last 30, 40 years in which constantly the refrain in the circles I used to move in was that let's do great things for God. That God wants to do great things. God wants to change the world. And there was a season in my life where the conferences I went to, they used the model of the corporate world to define greatness. About crowds and numbers and size and budgets and impact. And I think there's something about this story today in which we want to put together the words of power and might and the story of the smallness and the humility and the quietness of what God does in Mary. That perhaps the way God defines greatness is so different than the way we do. That in all the small places, the quiet places, the people who lack the social status and significance and power that the world gives. You know, when Mary said, "And you shall call me blessed in all generations," that was not she was not talking about celebrity and fame. I think she was saying there will be men and women in every generation who have a heart of humility and who care about God and how God does things, and they will be able to say that in your story, what we see, the way God worked, what God called you to, the way you responded, in that we see the greatness of God. The greatness of God and the humility and quietness and smallness of Mary's life. Oh, it's no small thing to raise the Messiah. But we might be surprised at the power and impact of the small things done with the extraordinary love of God and the power of the Spirit that impacted Jesus' life through his mother Mary. I think her life is a life to imitate. A life in which we just over the years immerse ourselves in the basic story of the redemptive power and plan of this God who has revealed himself as the creator and the caller of Abraham and the promiser of the Messiah and the sender of Jesus, that we immerse ourselves, that is the grand story, the great story against which everything gets measured. And that's the story in which we want to find ourselves. And this need to be significant and to have some kind of success and greatness by which all might call us celebrity or give us fame, Mary lays all that down. In the passage read from Hebrews this morning, it's really a moment in the scriptures in which what we hear is the eternal Son of God, before he becomes Jesus of Nazareth, sitting in the heavens with the Father and the Spirit, he speaks his heart and mind, the Son, to the Father, and he says this, "Father, I know that in your great plan, it's never been about the animal sacrifices. In your great plan, I know it's never been about those rituals. In your great plan, I know it's never been about all that stuff that's centered at the table. Father, what I would ask that you would do, what I want to do in response to your love for the world, is I want you to send me and give me a body, and I want simply to do your will, whatever it is, whenever, however, whatever. Father, give me a body that I might live life as fully human in all its embodiedness. Just let me live with my feet on some dirt, breathing that air, and I just want to do your will." And isn't that what Mary said? I mean, at the end of that conversation with Gabriel. And remember, Gabriel's the one who told Zechariah, "I stand in the presence of the face of God." Mary's just ready to say, "Behold, Lord, I'm just your servant. Whatever, whenever." At the end of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, there's this 12 chapters of this unpacking and unfolding and revealing of the majesty and the wonder of Jesus as the Messiah and as the high priest in the heavenly places. And we've just spent months studying this. But at the end of all of that, of those 12 chapters, the writer, who we think is just a pastor reaching out to a congregation in trouble, he says, "Therefore, after all we've learned about who Jesus is and what he's done," he says, "therefore," and he says this, "offer hospitality to strangers. Make friends with those you don't know. For those who might be suffering in prison, go to them. And if anyone in your sphere of life is being mistreated, live with deep empathy for them. And those around you in your life who serve you in all kinds of ways, respect them." How simple. But we know that whenever one human being genuinely, authentically, deeply gives that kind of openness, hospitality, empathy, respect, connection, whenever that's given to another human being, then the might and the power of God is revealed. Mary sings a song. We call it the Magnificat for that Latin word. "My soul magnifies the Lord." And she and in some ways she gives notice to this God of humility and love and compassion. I mean, she gives notice to the whole world. And she sort of says, "Listen, look at me. Who am I? This peasant girl in Nazareth, of all places, who God has looked upon and called me to this role of being the mother of this. Look at me, I've been blessed." I mean, if you have any spiritual eyes or ears, you'll see that this is how God is. He chooses people like me. Look at this, this is who God is. And then she says, "This is the God of mercy." It's the first thing she declares is mercy. before she declares justice, she declares mercy. And isn't that the way of God? And then she says, this mercy is going to be so present in this world that this mercy is going to call to account the proud and those who are mighty, misusing their might. They're going to be called to account. And those who are full and ignore their neighbors who are empty, God will give them their day. For God is a God of mercy and compassion who's looking for the humble and the disadvantaged and the oppressed, those of no significance, those who are being trampled by the mighty and the proud, the tables will be turned. Because this God of mercy is going to work by sending his Son, who will come not to be served, but to serve, who will come with weapons of truth, weapons of righteousness, and he will overturn the world and begin the revolution of a new kingdom and a new creation. And there will come a day when this one will reign in such a way that all the proud and the mighty will be left behind and empty. But all those who would be open to the love and mercy of God and willing to say yes to him in his way, they will be filled. They will be filled. Mary, did you know? Who knows what she thought after she sang that song and reflected upon it for years? And then she watched her son speak truth. She watched her son heal those left out. She watched her son build a new community of those who are left out and left behind. Oh, behold the mystery of the power and the might of God. It really humbles us all, doesn't it? Humbles us all. What are we to imitate? Know the story. Know the purpose of God from the very beginning. Not the purpose of God as been interpreted through the secular speakers of today, but the purpose of God. It's been revealed through the prophets and the apostles, through Jesus Christ. Know what God is about and what God is up to. And when he comes for your particular place, which will often look like reach out to your neighbor, be faithful to your spouse, take care of your children, take care of those who don't have enough of so many things. Speak the truth when you need to speak the truth. But follow this God, whose might is revealed in mercy, whose power is a power of truth. This is the Jesus that Mary bears for the world. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. This Jesus who turns the world upside down with this dynamic rhythm of mercy and truth. Well, Mary, did you know? She knew enough of this God to trust him. She knew enough to say yes. And in saying yes, God would do more and reveal more. And that's the mystery with us. That in our humble getting together and hanging out and doing ministry and sharing life together, God reveals more, does more, says more. The world has been changed by the quiet and the humble in the ways of the mercy and compassion of God. Those are the places where God has shined the brightest. Let's be those people. Let's be those people of faith. And will you say yes to the particular thing that God is speaking to you now? Amen.